Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. I am your host, Marie-Pierre, and for all my English friends out there, you can call me Marie. I am a registered dietitian with a background in psychology. My passion in life is to help individuals heal their relationship with food and their bodies. If you're tired of dieting and tired of restriction, you are at the right place. I'm hoping that this podcast will help and support you as you heal your own relationship with food and your body, and give you the tools, the resources, and the knowledge that you need to finally ditch the diets. Every week, you will be hearing from guest experts and myself on all things food, body, and mind. I am so happy that you're here, and I cannot wait to support you on your journey. Let's get started. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Balanced Dietitian Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time with me today to learn more about all things food, body, and mind. I'm so happy that you're here. So I hope you've been enjoying the podcast so far. If so, please don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, share, wherever you listen to your podcast. It's so important for me and my mission to really spread the anti-diet messaging. I think more people could benefit from shifting their mindset and their mentality to a more productive and liberating food mindset. Today's podcast episode is a solo episode with myself, your host, Marie-Pierre. Today, we are going to talk about weight bias, weight stigma, and weight discrimination. This is a topic that comes often with my clients, right? A lot of people living in larger bodies have lived experiences when it comes to weight bias. So today, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about it because I don't think it's something that we talk enough about or that most people understand, but I really do believe that we really need to address this issue when it comes to our daily environments and throughout the healthcare system as well. So let's get started. So let's start with definition. So weight bias are a set of negative views and attitudes with regard to someone's body and in relation to someone living in a larger body. So all negative attitudes and views. Then we have weight stigma. So stigma is the stereotypes. It's related to the weight bias. So it's stereotypes and misconceptions about obesity and people just living in larger bodies. These stereotypes can include perceptions and beliefs that people living in larger bodies are lazy, lack self-discipline, self-control, unsuccessful, sloppy, non-compliant, stupid, all these like extremely damaging and negative attributes that someone may have based on someone's weight. And then we have weight discrimination. So weight discrimination is a consequence of weight bias and stigma. So to me, it's almost like there's weight bias that leads to weight stigma that then leads to weight discrimination. So when we think of discrimination, is these people living in larger bodies are treated in unfair and discriminatory ways. This discrimination against people living in larger bodies can be seen in many ways. It can be verbal, emotional, physical. It can be just related to barriers, such as lack of accessibility to spaces or equipment that is also found in self-care. What I do want to say about weight discrimination that is that it doesn't need to be full out, like someone yelling at someone else, some very fat-phobic comments. I find like with discrimination, often it's like all or nothing, right? Like if people are not out loud saying like very damaging things, they're like, well, I'm not discriminating. But really, there is a lot of microaggressions, a lot of like little things that can happen that are not necessarily all out screaming at someone that they're fat or whatever the case may be, but that can still count as discrimination. The last definition that I have for you guys is self-stigma. So that is when people who are living in larger bodies may also accept the prevalent social stigma around excess weight and internalize it and devalue themselves. So that is also what we would call like internalized fat phobia. So they kind of take like, you know, everything that like society tells them and internalize them, which then leads them to devalue themselves. It causes a lot of psychological distress for these people, and it's also associated with depression. So you may be asking yourself, like, okay, but what is the evidence of this? Like, is this actually a thing? For a lot of you, it may actually be one of the first times you hear about it. Or it might feel like, well, it's only been in the recent years that we hear about this. But the truth is that this has been going on for years and years and years. Actually, in the US, so in the United States, weight discrimination is the third most prevalent cause of discrimination in women, after gender and age, and the fourth in men, which is after gender, age, and race. Weight discrimination increased from 7% in the 1995 to 1996 to 12% in 2004 to 2006. So that actually represents a 66% increase in discrimination based on weight. The rates of discrimination against people living in larger bodies are also found to be different for people in the different weight groups, right? So it's not like as soon as you hit X amount of weight or you live in a larger body, you're discriminated. The larger your body gets, the worse the discrimination also gets. Levels of weight discrimination are also found to be 3 times higher in women than in men. So more women get discriminated. But also, weight-related discrimination is found to be the highest in racial minorities, specifically Black women. So Black women face twice as much discrimination as white women do. So weight bias is present in many aspects of life. We see it often in employment. So 60% of people who have experienced weight discrimination have expressed that it has been at a job. So either not getting hired for a job, getting fired for a job, or not being able to get promoted. It can also happen in interpersonal relationship. The media has a huge impact on how people living in larger bodies are viewed and treated. And also in education, there is a lot of weight bias in different level of education. So if we think of children that are school age are 16% more likely to be bullied if they live in excess weight. But also what is taught in school. Schooling, and I'm talking now more directly in towards like dietetics. However, I also know med school, nursing school have very similar, very weight-centric approach. They create a lot of weight stigma and biases within the schooling itself. So what we learn in school and what we learn on how to treat people is already problematic. Now, I really want to talk about the weight bias in our healthcare system. This is something that I take to heart because I work in the healthcare system and I work with people in larger bodies, and I hear so many horror stories on how they're treating based on their bodies and how they're dismissed based on their bodies. And this needs to change. And I'm hoping that this will be able to bring awareness a little bit more to that, but then also solutions, right? Because awareness is one thing, but then we got to understand like, okay, cool. And what now? What do we do? How can we change? How can we be better and more inclusive? So if we think about the healthcare system, more than 60% of adults living in a larger body reported experiences weight bias from a healthcare professionals. And this is only what's reported. So I would not be surprised if it were to be more than that. There are many studies that show that the weight of a patient affects how doctors view and treat the person. Access to care is very different when you're living in a larger body. Many facilities do not have the equipment necessary to treat people living in larger bodies, such as hospital gowns that don't fit right, blood pressure cuffs that don't fit somebody's arms, examination tables and chairs that are too small or cannot support the person, and scales that don't support the person. There is a lot of inaccessibility in care for people who are living in larger bodies. And you may ask like, okay, but how does that like impact the health of someone, right? If someone is living in a larger body, it highly impacts their level of care and their health status, right? Not related to the weight, but related to the accessibility of healthcare. So how is weight bias a barrier in healthcare? So we talked a little bit about the environment. However, communications from healthcare professionals is obviously influenced by their own biases, and it affects the verbal and nonverbal communication to their patients, which can be extremely stressful. Healthcare providers tend to see patients living in larger bodies as less compliant, maybe more lazy, and not wanting to be healthy, and treat them with less respect. And due to the weight stigma and based on their experiences, a lot of people in larger body are less likely to go see their doctor and seek medical care. And the long-term effects of avoiding medical care can lead to conditions that are more advanced and harder to treat, right? If you're not able to diagnose something quick because the access to care is not there, it definitely has a lot of implication. People living in larger bodies report having a lot of triggering situations in medical settings, such as getting weighed, dietary assessment, questions about physical activity, questions about their food intake. They often feel like most of the care itself is always related back to their weight. Healthcare professionals are also encouraged to offer unsolicited weight loss counseling and may engage in simplistic assumptions about the cause of the weight gain and provide advice that is not helpful and potentially damaging. There's also less likely to be preventative tests for people living in larger bodies, such as cancer screening or pap tests, mammograms. So as you can see, there is a lot of ways that the weight bias and stigma is impeding care. And this is not to say that people living in larger bodies, like, they do care about their health. But when every time you go to the doctors, you feel attacked, every time you go, you also feel discriminated, it's not very inviting to go, right? As human beings, we don't like discomfort. This is a fact. We hate being uncomfortable. And when you feel uncomfortable with people who are supposed to care for your health, that can be very damaging. So I really want to emphasize the point that weight bias and weight stigma, so the stereotypes that we have against weight, are concepts created by diet culture. There are concepts that have been here for many, many years that is very simplistic and assume someone's health and someone's behavior based on their weight. We know this to be totally false. We know that we cannot tell someone's health based on how they look. This is a fact. So when we have these biases and internalize those fatphobic messaging, we become also part of the problem. So whether you're a healthcare provider or not, it's so important for us to start noticing our own biases. I will link in the show notes a weight bias implicit test that was made by Harvard. And this is really interesting, right? Because some people will be like, oh, no, I don't really care. Like, everybody has their own body, la, la, la. But really, there's still some implicit biases. And it's not to say that it's that you're a bad person per se, right? If you have these biases. However, we definitely need to acknowledge and be aware of them to be able to modify our own behaviors. And if you are living in a larger body, you may also have weight biases, right? The self-stigma, what you make your body mean about yourself, what you think size and weight means, the value you associate with your size and your weight. This is such a huge problem. And we definitely need to develop new strategies to stop weight bias. Right? I feel like in recent years, the awareness of weight bias has led a lot of researchers and community advocates and even healthcare professionals to seek strategies to help reduce the stigma and really just help improve health outcomes. So when you are a health professional, and I am one as a registered dietitian, the ultimate goal is to increase health outcomes and to allow people to live a life on their terms, feel good within themselves, their own decision, and provide adequate healthcare services. This being said, if you have weight bias, if you place judgments on people based on how they look, you are no longer providing the best quality of care. Your own biases are stopping you from providing care, from providing adequate care. So it's so important for us all to reflect on our own biases. Okay, this is a lot of information. We know that this is an issue. We know that this is something that we need to change, to add strategies so everybody feels included, that healthcare becomes weight inclusive and actually focuses on health instead of weight because, you know, health and weight are not the same. So what do we do? The first part is to acknowledge our own bias. I think we need to know and acknowledge our own biases, privileges, because that allows us to have a deeper understanding of how we come across, how we think, and our behaviors then towards different people. We need to start using respectful language, and this is to others and towards ourselves, right? Be mindful and sensitive about the words that you refer to someone or someone's weight. I know people in larger bodies are trying to reclaim the word fat, right? Some people will being like, hey, you know what? I am fat. And that's really great. And if you are living in a larger body and you're reclaiming that word for yourself, that is so amazing. However, I don't think everybody's all there. So being respectful of the meanings of the different words and what it means to other people is very, very important. Speak up for yourself and advocate for yourself. If you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable or you're feeling judged based on your weight, I would highly encourage you to speak up. And this is hard. This is really hard because there needs to be some type of self-confidence behind it to be able to advocate for yourself. So if you're not there yet, get a friend, get a health professional that you trust to advocate for you. As a dietitian, I will advocate and fight for all my clients. If you need that extra help, if you're like, you know what, it's really hard for me to stand up to these health professionals, get somebody on your team to advocate for you. Speak up also if you witness someone engaging in like weight bias teasing, like either like fat jokes or calling out someone on something. Call them out. Like, that is not funny. Fat jokes are not funny. They're actually so damaging for so many people. And if you are the target of some type of jokes from either friends or family and they're not malintentioned, let them know that their actions and their jokes and their words are hurtful and unfair. Then we want to educate. First off, we need to educate ourselves. Understand, again, our own bias. Understand what it means, how it impacts different people. Educate yourself on how weight bias and stigma really influence our healthcare system, our schooling system, the work environment. It's in every area of life. So educate yourself and then educate others about weight bias and its consequences. Help people understand that living in a larger body is not about health, right? That health and weight can be separated. This is a hard task. This is a hard task to ask to educate other people. However, I think it's all our responsibility to spread the word, spread the awareness, allow people to understand, and give yourself compassion and others compassion. Although weight bias is super, super damaging and weight stigma and discrimination, allow people space and compassion because unfortunately that is the way that society has brought us up. It's not to excuse them because it's never okay. It's never okay to make someone feel so awful about the body they're living in. However, give them also space to learn. I think we are all taught different messaging around diet cultures in our body. And allowing yourself that compassion to learn is so important. And with that education piece too, I would educate your health professional. And what I mean by that is maybe if you felt uncomfortable in their clinic, maybe if you felt uncomfortable with something they said, to speak up and let them know. Let them know how your experience is. Let them know how they can do better. This can include like the way they maybe talked about your weight if they say something. Also, just as a side note, you don't have to get weighed when you get to your doctor's. If they want to take your weight and it makes you feel uncomfortable, you don't need to get weighed. It's not a requirement. So if that is something that makes you feel uncomfortable, please, please, please be aware that it's your right to say no and to say, like, you know what, like, I don't want to today. It doesn't make me feel good. There's also cards out there. I don't really know where you can buy them, but to explain, like, why I don't want to get weighed, right? And it gives, like, very good reasons that you can give that card to a health professional. So you don't have to say it, because sometimes it kind of may feel odd to kind of be like, oh, I don't want to. But you could get some of these cards to health professionals. Now, if you are a health professional or if you are a dietitian listening to this, my tips for you would be to first off reflect on your practice and your own biases and the way you speak, your language, your own behaviors, what you post on social media. Set your environment or your clinic environment to be more weight inclusive. This can include having chairs without arms to allow people in different body size to feel comfortable, right? Being accessible to all body types. This is so important, right? Because you can say as much as you want that you're weight inclusive, but if your environment does not represent that, then it's not necessarily weight inclusive. So make sure that you set up your environment. Like, even like getting rid of the scale in your clinic can really help someone feel more comfortable, and educate people about weight inclusivity and why it's so important to get rid of weight bias and stigma, and how it actually impedes their healthcare when we are in a fatphobic environment. To conclude, people deserve to be treated with respect and dignity at every size. People of all body shapes and size deserve to have equal access to healthcare, to job opportunities, to respect, to connections, to everything. The size of your body should not determine what you have access to. I hope this podcast was beneficial for you to start reflecting more on maybe your own thought patterns, your own beliefs that you may have about weight and body, and how we can start reframing it to be more inclusive. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have more questions, if you have lived experience, I would love to hear from you. Don't hesitate to reach me at thebalancedietitian@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you, from my listeners, and see how helpful maybe this was. And then if you do have experiences that you want to share, because it's hard. And the last thing you want is to feel alone. So my last thing on this, my friends, is to get support. Join a community of people who are like-minded, who make you feel valued for the person that you are, and the value that you bring into this world, knowing that that is not related to your body. I am so happy you took the time today to learn more about weight biases and how it actually impacts so many individuals at so many different levels, and hopefully gathered some tips that you will be able to include in your everyday life to make this world more inclusive and a better place to live for all, not based on your body size. And before I let you go, my friends, I did wanted to say that I will be hosting a free workshop in a few weeks from now, on August 17th, 2020 to August 21st, 2020. So in a few weeks, I will be hosting a free workshop on emotional eating. A lot of us deal with emotional eating. A lot of us engage in emotional eating. And I want to talk more about it. In this workshop, we are going to talk about why we turn to emotional eating. If it's bad, if it's good, how do we navigate the nuances? And how can we start having new coping mechanisms? This is such a great workshop with a bunch of information, and the best part is that it's free, accessible to all. So I will also link that in the show notes. You can also go to www.thebalanceddietitian.com/live-series. So I look forward to seeing you in that workshop. Please join me. If you want to learn more about emotional eating, which I think honestly, we all go through emotional eating. Food is so emotional. It's so tied into emotions, memories, tradition, experiences, connections. So it's always so great to learn more about why we eat and how we feel about why we eat. So if you're interested, do not miss out. This is for free and you'll also get the replays in the group. Yeah, I can't wait for you to join me. On that note, my friend, I hope you have the best day. And again, I am so happy that you took the time to be here with me. I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode. Have an amazing day.